Understand what praise is all about. Praise is something that we really don't do enough of, especially praising God. We might praise for the things we get. We might praise for people that have done things for us, but how often do we really set back and just praise God? That the God that we know, the God that we have the chance to learn and love, has provided us so much. And so this morning, if you would, I'd ask you to turn to Psalm 148. My goal is to be quick so that we can have our turn to give praise to God with our voices from our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we know that we are looking into the truth of your word. We're looking into the Holy Scriptures. And Lord, how we need you to speak to our hearts through these things. Lord, to prod us. Lord, to guide us, to comfort us, Lord, to move us along the way. And so we ask you to give us insights, Lord, that you would hide the mouth of this preacher and you'd exalt the words that they might penetrate and that they might deal with each and every heart in a very unique way so that they can be assured that the God of all universe cares immensely for their simplest and most complicated need. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to gather in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you'll turn to Psalm 148, we have a passage here. And I don't plan on going into too much detail, not much like the rest of the sermons that I give, but this one should be brief. And but yet, the goal is to stimulate you to be able to give praise. So often when it comes into our church service, and I can't recall any ever seeing this at Montague, but we don't speak the praise of God. We don't allow our voices to be heard where others can hear them. We might speak them in the privacy of our heart, but we don't allow them to be broadcast. And so when here in Psalm 148, we see the psalmist, who is not David, in case you're wondering, but is another psalmist, and he is giving praise to God. And he says there in verse 1, and let me turn there to Psalm 48. I've got it on my notes, but I need to be in the scriptures. Easy to find because it's on your last page of your book of Psalms. Yes, it is very hot up here. So if somebody could kindly take care of the heating, probably the baseboard heaters are going overtime. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise ye him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. And on this first portion, we want to talk about the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, whenever we talk about heavens in the Bible, we need to think of three-dimensional. We need to think of that heaven where God sits on his throne. We need to think of that span of space that separates the earth from wherever God's throne is. But it's an expanse of space where our great machines are traveling through, trying to discover the universe and all its intensities, you know, that black space that's out there with little dots of planets and stars, that's the second heavens. And then the first heavens is that heavens that is our sky, our clouds, that heavens. And so it says, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. And the first thing that we see is that God has already built in a system of praise for himself. He is the one that has created this whole universe. He's created all the heavens. In all their immenseness, he has created them. But in verse 2, he says, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. So now God, apart from talking about the inactive and the universe that we live in, he starts to address those things that he has directly created, that has given a unique point of life. Not life as we think of it, but the angels were created and put into existence in order to glorify the Lord, in order to do the will of God. Unlike us as human beings, the angels don't necessarily have a will. Their will is so strong that they are able to they aren't tempted per se. But here on earth, we know that one of those angels did fall, and now he's out here and he is trying to push his way and influence us. But here he's saying, All the angels. All the angels. In fact, it says the hosts of angels. If we could gather them in, this would be a massive army that we know that will come with him when he comes in those last days. In fact, I was listening to the reading and says, oh, I should stop. I should do a message on this candle of hope. Because if you were paying attention to the passage, you'd see that a lot of that message was that of dire consequences that are going to come upon this earth before Jesus returns. And sometimes it seems right now that in our dire consequences, we really could use a glimmer of hope, couldn't we? And how important is that for us today? And yet in this hope, we know that God has all these angels that he's created, and they're going to praise him. And he has all these angels that are gathered together and ready to go to battle for him. And they are going to praise him. So we have these things in heaven that are praising an almighty God. And then it says, praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Now we get into those things that we can see. Those things that we see in the darkness of light. I have a saying, and people come up and say, what's up? And I say, the sun, the moon, the stars. And then quite often I'll get the response, oh, no, they're not. It's daytime. And I says, oh, yeah, they're still up there. You just can't see them because of the bright light of the sun. Right? And so here we see that it says, praise ye him, sun and moon. The very thing that God created that gives us light, that creates warmth for us here on this earth, is going to praise God. It is a way of praising God. It is a symbol of the warmth that God has given us. It's a symbol of what God has given us, and the process of growing is dependent upon the light. And the moon. Think of what the moon does for us. Tides, ebb and flows, timing of plants. All these are going to sing the praise. That very inanimate sun and moon, they sing the praises of God. They tell us that there is a God that has a plan. This isn't a random universe. This isn't a happenstance. There is a plan behind here. Can you define the orbits? Are you the one that is capable of keeping the earth going around the sun like clockwork, like calendar work, however you want to put it? Here is the things that bring God praise because he has created them. They're in the heavens. And all ye stars of light. When we were out at near Jamestown where we spent our Thanksgiving, I was so anxious to get out there where there were no city lights. And I was a little disappointed. Number one, I forgot my glasses. I can see fairly well, but to see the details of the stars in the sky, I need my glasses. And so we were out there, and we go outside the first night there, and I go, oh, bummer. I can't see I wanted to see the Milky Way. You know how you see those pictures of the Milky Way so well defined in pictures and everything? I wanted to see that, but there was so many city lights because of Newport News and Richmond and all these lights that you couldn't see it. But lo and behold, a couple days later, clouds kind of blocked out those two little cities, and we could see the stars pretty vivid. Not as vivid as I want, but you know, they sing the praises of God. All those stars hanging out there in space, they speak that there is a creator. You know, and I don't know about you, but I have this fancy watch, right? And this fancy watch is a digital watch, so it's not quite as meaningful as maybe a mechanical watch. But you know, the world would have us believe that this watch doesn't tell us anything about its creator. In fact, the world would have us believe that this watch just kind of oozed out of the ocean. And it determined its own destiny by just a whole bunch of random mistakes. And only a couple of those mistakes made it. And over, well, I don't know, 5 billion, 10 billion, or is it up to 20 billion now? I mean, think about it. Billion? That's the difference? Your science isn't very scientific. But these stars that are in and moving about the skies in perfect patterns, they declare the glory of God. And it says, praise ye him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. Now, let's go back, read this. This is kind of awkward, doesn't it? Does this kind of strike you as funny? Praise him, ye heavens of heavens. So now we've gone beyond the sky, and we've gone up into the throne of God, the heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. What are waters that are above the heavens? Well, I think what he's talking about is the fact that if you really look at it, you can see a cycle within God's creation. You can see the cycle, and we talked about this about 3 or 4 Sundays ago when we talked about the fact that it may take anywhere from 100 to 1,000 years for an evaporated droplet from the river, the ocean, or the lake to make it all the way through the cycle of clouds, or whatever you want to call it, and come back and drop back into the earth and into that lake or that river. But God has all of that mastered. He has all of that under his control. God has every hurricane, every tornado, every supernatural occurrence of weather is under his control. And that brings him praise too. Would you like a purely random and happenstance world where things happen and there is no control, there is no purpose, but God says, praise ye heavens and waters above the heavens. In fact, Isaiah 55:10 reads this, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." You see, in those waters of heaven, we have a miracle of God's provision. We have a timing of God's provision. We know that it doesn't rain every day. How many of you are happy for that? I can remember living in Hawaii, and we actually literally, we had 41 days of continuous rain. And of course, I was in probably the wettest spot. It wasn't over the entire earth, so it wasn't a flood, right? But it's still, that was kind of hard to bear. And I've been in times, how many of you have been in the middle of summer and you say, oh man, this sunshine and this warm weather is just getting to be a pain. Can't we just get a little rain? Aren't you glad that God knows how to mix it up?
Amen.
God knows. I mean, that is to his praise, and that's what we need to sing of, right? Let them, verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. I'm so thankful that I can look at everything that is around me and know that God has a purpose in it. He created it for a specific purpose. And that's something that we should be excited about, and that's something we should give testimony for. Praise is a matter of obedience. It's not just limited to earth or mankind, that God created. When we marvel at the delicate balance in our world and the necessity of every event and creature on it, that brings God's praise. How many of you remember your biology class in high school? And remember them talking about ecospheres and symbiotic relationships and the fact that each one is dependent upon another? How many of you like ants? Pain. How about flies? Oh, how about those great big ugly rhinoceros beetles that are eating up my wood that's sitting out in my shed? You like those? Okay, but see, here's what it is God has designed each one of those with a specific purpose. That we need them. We take them out and we are going to go bonkers. God has a design and we need to praise him for his design. We need to praise him for the fact that he's in control. And there in verse 6 it says, he hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made the decree which shall not pass. What does that say? It says God did not just create these things and say, boom, you're out there. Have at it. He says, no, I am still controlling every event that occurs. The sparrow that dies. The eagle that captures a rabbit. I am in control of every single one of those things. I'm watching over it and I'm caring for it because I am the Almighty God. Well, isn't that something to give God praise for?
Amen.
We need to praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17 tell us this. Colossians 1, 16 through 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether by they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Are you glad today that God is still in control? Do you have that eye of faith? Do you have that hope in the faith that God is controlling all these things and allowing it to invigorate you and allowing it to enthuse you, even though life may not be treating you very pretty right now, right? There may be some bummers going on in your life. But God has them all in his control. All of the heavens, everything that's in the heavens are under his control. And now let's go. Now all that God has created reflects the power and majesty of his creation. It sings his praises. We need to look beyond the individual items and things of beauty and majesty and consider the intricacies of their relationships one to another. See the power that is manifest in keeping this diverse world humming, despite man's effort to destroy it. You know, global warming, global climate change, whatever you want to call it, you know what? Mankind does not have the ability to overrun God's control of this earth, despite what they may think.
Amen.
Despite how many summits they might hold.
Amen.
Right? And see the power that is manifested in keeping this diverse world humming despite man's efforts to destroy it. We need to praise the God that designed and created all things that cause us to stand in awe. And thus we've looked lifted our heads up, we've looked above the earth, and we've seen all that God has in control. And now in verse 7, we see the intricacies of the earth that declare the glory of God. Psalm verse 7 says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps." Dragons. Is that a good picture for you? I mean, for just to go into the mystical land, are those really favorable things? What about all deeps? How many of you like to go into a deep, dark hole? How many of you would like to go to the deepest part of the ocean? And are those things that create joy for you? But yet it says, what do those things do? Praise ye the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and deeps. In other words, they have their purpose that brings praise to God also. Those ugly things in life. In fact, let's go and look a little bit further on as we go through Psalm 148. It says, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds, fulfilling his word. You see, we love it when things are nice and cozy. We're willing to give God praise for that. But what about when God starts sending stormy winds our way? How about when we get trapped in the snow, or our cars get beaten to death by hail, or we get hit by a hailstone? Are we still going to praise? Are we still going to see that God is in control? Are we still going to sing praises to God when life gets difficult? The psalmist says, praise you when the storms are coming. That's a powerful statement. That's a hard statement, isn't it? Hard to handle. Well, you're going to have an opportunity to sing praises to God. You're going to have opportunities in popcorn praises to get up and say, God, I thank you for. And it can be a testimony. It can be something that God has revealed to you. It can be just about anything. It can even be storms that God brought your way. It says, mountains and all the hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Of course, we love our fruit, don't we? Sure do. Love it in all ways, shapes, and forms. And they grow on trees, they grow on bushes, they grow in the grass sometimes. Right? And so fruitful things that are out there that provide for us. Mountains. Mountains? Declare the glory of God? I think they show us that God is just the inventor. He's the inventor of creativity. Think of mountains. Jutting up sharp. Those of you that have been around me, maybe you've seen, I have screensavers on my computer. And there are these jutting mountains that were there behind my dad's place in Hawaii. They go straight up 3,000 feet, literally. They don't even travel an eighth of a mile before they get to the top in 3,000 feet. They're majestic. But you sure don't want to try to climb them. And that's the way life is, you know. Sometimes we get mountains.
It's a wasp.
Good catch.
Praise God.
Don't mess with her.
It's bad. Sorry.
That's okay. We're working on this one. This is
it has its place.
Yes. Just not inside the church. Okay. And so we have this concept of mountains and hills. How many of you like going up hills? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But there's difficult things that come in our lives, and we need to be praising God for that. It says beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. We already talked about that, right? How many of you like vultures? Ugly, aren't they? But they're necessary, aren't they not? They have their place, right? What about the hawk that comes in and takes out your chicken? He has his place too, right? And so we need to praise God for all of these things that he has put us around. The beasts, the wild animals, the possums and the raccoons, the deer that cause us to damage our car. God has all kinds of things there for us. Notice verse 11. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth. Hey, are you ready for this? Let's praise the Lord for our president. Let's praise the Lord for our Congress. Let's praise the Lord for our judges. Let's praise the Lord for lawyers.
Hey,
man. You know, and that's what he's saying. He's saying in everything we need to give praise. God is in control of all these things. He, in fact, in Ezra, chapter 6, verse 22, it says, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel.
It's guiding us. It was on him.
Okay. Is he okay?
I don't know.
Here, I got you. Did it sting you? Here we go. Did it sting you?
Okay. Praise the Lord for the wasps. A little bit hard to do, isn't it? A little bit hard to do. Okay? But the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And for that we need to praise. He raises kings up, he tears kings down. Even the wicked kings are in his hand. In fact, if we look, if you remember the story about Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 5, we have Daniel predicting the fact that actually Nebuchadnezzar has a vision that says, within a couple seasons, you're going to go insane. And you're going to stay insane for 7 years. Because the gods got the heart of the kings in his hands. So praise the Lord for the rulers that are over us. Both young men and maidens, old and children, even mankind, the ultimate work of God, which was created in his image, body, soul, and spirit, triune, reflecting the majesty of God, should give him and bring him praise. Those that are young and full of energy and innovation, the maidens that are looking forward to embracing the world and its challenges, praise God for the old, the wisdom obtained through experience, the stories of perseverance and techniques of dealing with tragedy and hopelessness. We need the old people. We need the young people to give us that sense of enthusiasm. I thought I was going to go crazy this weekend. I had 6 young men around me, and they were driving me crazy, but they were full of enthusiasm and energy and were jumping up and down and doing all kinds of things that I can't even think about right now, but they gave me a hope. Hopefully, as an old man standing there and saying, hey, can you guys calm it down a little bit? They gained a little bit of wisdom from me in other ways. But right, we need to praise the Lord for the old. We need to praise the Lord for the young. We need to praise the Lord for children. Verse 13 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Are you willing to praise God today? Verse 14. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Now we know in the scriptures that Israel was God's chosen people. That's how he chose to reveal himself to the world, how he chose to reveal his care and concern for the world was through Jesus. It was through the Israelites that we have a Savior named Jesus that gave himself for us. God, in turn, lifts the voice of his people. They are all the example of those that do not want to hear the wonders of God that created all things around us. So we're surrounded by unbelievers. But we, as believers, those of God's children, we need to be declaring his praises. We cannot be quiet. You know, so often we talk about witnessing and being a testimony for Christ. But let me ask you, when was the last time you praised God in front of somebody else? I didn't say witness, I didn't say ABC, I'd say praise God. Let them know that you believe that there is a God and that God is in control and he's doing great things. His saints, those that are believing in him, those that are willing to yield to him. For the psalmist, this is the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, that God continues to work and call. Horn of his people, that which grows out or emits light. Too many its. God will bring forth praise to his children when we have shown forth praise to his name. In other words, do you want God to use you? Do you want God to bless you? Then sing his praises. Talk about him. Talk about the wonders of his creation. Praise God that he can draw near to this God that created so much that we have the privilege to praise him. As we praise him, he will lift us up and cause others to reflect their praise for God through what he has done in us and with us. So I'd like to shift gears a little bit right now and ask you to take up your bulletins. And I'd like us to sing one stanza of Count Your Blessing, and then we're going to stop. And then it's going to be time for popcorn praise. Okay? Listen to the words as you sing. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Anyone else? Praise.
I'm just grateful we're here today.
Grateful that we're here today.
He woke us all up. He's brought us all to the house of the Lord so that we can hear the praises and the wonderful songs and the message.
Better to wake up on this side of the dirt than the other side.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Anyone else?
I got two short ones, speaker. We have to leave. We've got company coming from out of town. And I'm sorry, we've got a daughter. But I praise the Lord that my husband was near death. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that. And God raised him up, and I prayed that he would bring us back to church. And here we are. Mm-hmm. And my second praise, I thank God so many times for my brother, and I won't get into my testimony because you won't get over here. I praise God for my brother who pursued and pursued and pursued me to go to church with he and his new bride. I turned him down, lying like a dog. I had this to do, that to do. But he pursued me until I attended a revival meeting in the second week on the fourth day of, it was on a Thursday, and behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, if any man hear my voice, open the door and I'll come in and sup with him. He with me. And I stood there and I shook. And they sang, Let Jesus Come Into Your Heart. Sang three verses that got on the fourth. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now open the door. And he preached on Revelation 3:20. And I shook like a leaf. I got up and I said, if I don't go now, I probably never will. I was 16 years old, and God only knows where I'd be now that I'm almost 82, where I would be today. I praise him for my brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Special people in your life. Anyone else? Come on. Don't be shy. Can be simple. Right?
I thank God. The happy has come back to mine again.
The happiness has come back here.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
And so many, I told you before, it's hard, like Mildred just said, be here all day if you really, truly get down to praising God for the things that he's done.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Anyone else?
Do I have to stand?
No.
Okay.
Would you like the microphone?
No.
I guess nobody wants this.
Well, I praise the Lord, first of all, for salvation, but also
and that we can take him at his word. And my favorite verses are found in Romans 8 at the end of that chapter. A number of us, as Joe said, we praise the Lord, happiness is back at Montague. A number of us shared in a tough year. In another life, a number of us shared in the loss of good friends to COVID. A number of us shared loss of family. But in all that, it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor wasps, nor semi-trucks, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. He is always with us.
Amen.
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 So while you're thinking about your testimonies, because I know there's more out there, let's stand. Let's sing that second stanza. Are you ever burdened with a load of care?
Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings every now will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by.
Blessings of many people that have enriched our lives in so many different ways. Anybody else?
I would like to bless the Lord for my church family. Wonderful church family.
And we want to be a family, don't we? Caring for one another.
Amen.
Concerned for one another. Praying for one another. Let's keep the avenues of communication open. Right? Keep the avenues. Let's not let bitterness and wrath and anger and malice enter into our ranks. Let us keep it open. When we see somebody struggling with that, let's go. Let's help. Let's endeavor to draw alongside. That's what the comforter does, right? We draw alongside them, not condemn them, not shame them, but encourage them.
Amen.
A simple testimony. Anybody? That was a great simple testimony. Praise God for one word. Can we get one word? Come on. If you can't do it here, where are you going to do it?
Oh, it just happened.
Oh? Did you have something?
That's it. For the church family.
For the church family, right? Okay.
I had heart surgery last October.
And he's doing well. He's getting through his dialysis on a daily basis, and that's improved a little bit, giving him a little more vim and vigor through the days. Okay. Anybody else?
Paige is here. She's just turned 18. The rest of her family didn't come to church this morning.
But
she got up and she came on her own.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's don't see that much anymore, do we? Praise the Lord for Paige. Thank you, Paige. Anybody else?
FRC.
Huh? Hands. Okay.
FRC chat we had this past week.
Okay.
A long
well,
ride.
Definitely.
But it was the ride.
Well, definitely. And despite all the police traps, I didn't get to take it either. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
I was driving, but yeah.
Praise God for His love and His grace.
His love and His grace, okay? Right? I mean, how many of us really want love? And we go looking at people and we find it in one sort or another, but it's always corrupted, isn't it?
That's right.
God's love is never corrupted. His care for you never ends. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Ethel.
Praise God that He let me wake up this morning and come to church.
Amen. Amen. And we're thankful you're here with us this morning. We know that, you know, some people it takes a lot of work to get here. We take that for granted, don't we? Mm-hmm. where you think, oh, I just got to get up, put my clothes on. But for other people, it's a real struggle. Fighting against illness, fighting against aching. I know I had to do a little bit of fighting this morning, too. You know, praise God. You know?
Praise God.
Anyone else?
I can thank God that I'm here.
Yes, and we're thankful you're here, Norma Jean, and your leg is doing well, and she's taking care of it. How many of us have problems taking care of our own health? We have a tendency to ignore it, don't we? And so it's important when God gives us the insight and the ability to take care of ourselves. That's a blessing, isn't it? Anyone else? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
The freedom to worship.
A freedom to worship. Yes. Amen. Freedom to worship.
Freedom to pray for our president.
I was, this week as I was preparing and reading and everything else, I ran into something I hadn't run into before. You know, we all think of the pilgrims giving thanks for the food and how God saw them through that winter and everything. But do you realize that one of their purposes in coming was to reach the Indians? And look at how God used what was a tragedy in most people's eyes, almost 50% of the people died, to build that bridge and that open door with the Indians that were around it. And so, you know, praise God, he works in unique ways. Aren't you glad he doesn't do it our way? What a mess it would be. Okay, anybody else? Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. We have a very important moment in our church as we gather around communion. So let's close this part with a prayer and then get ready to partake in communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity to praise you. We thank you, Lord, for those that were willing to share and those that shared in the quietness of their heart, Lord. We know that you're worthy of all praise and that we can never praise you enough. So, Father, we lift your name up. We lift our voices up. We sing to the God in heaven above. And we ask that you might work in and through this time of praise to encourage us to move on in the name of Jesus. Amen. If I can have the deacons and men.
Chapter 11. Yeah. Follow along as I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for better, but for worse. For first of all, when you have come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And there must be also heresies among you, that ye which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. And you're wondering, what does this have to do? Hold on. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink? And despise ye the church of God, and shame all that ye have not? But shall I say unto you, shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And so as I read that first part of it, I want you to understand that when we come to the communion table, this is not a sacrament that is going to impart grace. This is an opportunity for us to reflect on what God did for us, what Jesus did for us, to remember that he was willing to suffer and die for us because we are flawed. It does not make anyone unflawed. Only the blood of Christ does that. And so we're here to remember that sacrifice, that we do this in remembrance of him. So I would like the deacons, if they could sit down, I will sit down. And I want us to just for a moment meditate and say, thank you to God. Praise God for the wonderful gift of salvation. Examine ourselves and see whether we're ready to be able to bring honor to him through this time. Jossie?
Lord.